The resurrection appearances of Jesus are a transition time, a transition between his earthly life and ministry and the way in which we experience him now through the life of the Spirit of the Church. It's a time of getting the disciples used to the fact that things are going to be different from now. And these resurrection appearances, this transition time, draws to a close in different ways according to the ways in which the different Gospels show it. In John's Gospel, it all comes to an end with what I call the breakfast on the beach scene. The disciples have been out fishing in a rather disconsolate way, and they find that Jesus has prepared a little barbecue of fish for them on the beach. They have breakfast together, and then there's that threefold interrogation of Peter as to whether he's loyal enough and committed enough to resume leadership of the apostolic band. With Matthew, there's that dramatic mountaintop scene back in Galilee where the disciples are commissioned to go out and preach the gospel to all the world. They've returned to the place of beginnings in order to make a new start, a rather ascension theme itself. Well, Luke does it differently again. They remain in Jerusalem, they go out to a little village called Bethany, and then he literally goes out on a high note. Now, there have been some parallels and preparations to all this. For those who are attentive readers of the Old Testament, we'll recall the prophet Elijah, a very highly charged, almost mythological figure, rather like a Robin Hood figure in the history of Israel, for standing up to the powerful, denouncing them, opposing them, and a man with remarkable supernatural powers. And his disciple Elisha was determined to inherit his mantle and take up his leadership role. So he sticks to Elijah like a limpet mine as Elijah prepares to die and to return to God. And because of his persistence, he actually sees Elijah riding up into heaven on a chariot, escorted by the angels of God. And that's the confirming sign that he is the one who's destined to succeed Elijah. And remember that gift he asked for just before Elijah went up on the heavenly chariot, "Give me a double portion of your spirit." And he does receive that as a result of being able to see Elijah depart into the heavenly realms. Notice the parallel between Ascension and Pentecost. And then the other preparation parallel is the Transfiguration itself, where Jesus goes up on a mountain, is glowing with uncreated light, he's looking the way he's going to be in the heavenly realms, and that scene has these intriguing words in it. "It was the time for his being taken up was approaching. The time for his being taken up was approaching." Now, the Ascension is now talking about a kind of interim time, a temporary absence of Jesus, so that he can come back in a new and more powerful mode a week later when the gift of the Spirit comes at Pentecost. And the real issue about the Ascension is not the one that many people get hung up on about, the kind of helicopter flight into heaven. It's about the bodiliness of Jesus. The bodiliness of Jesus, because the fact that one is embodied tells us who we are in terms of our essential identity. And what's the point that's being made here is that the way in which the disciples knew Jesus, remember there's a continuity of those resurrection appearances, it's still the same recognizable earthly body. He's able to be touched, he eats fish in front of their eyes. That bodiliness has now been taken up into the heavenly realms, to the right hand of God. There's a kind of essential continuity with Jesus between his earthly ministry and his new mode of existence. And really, theologians have yet to come to terms with the full implications of the fact that Jesus took a human nature with him into the Godhead. He didn't discard it like an actor discarding a costume. Something had radically changed in that sense. So, there are certain consequences for all this. For a start, from now on, genuine Christian Trinitarian prayer begins. Our prayer should be to the Father, through the Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is like a telephone exchange, a junction box through which our prayers proceed. Occasionally we get carried away and talk to directly to Jesus or to the Holy Spirit, but by and large our prayer should be to the Father through the Son and the power of the Holy Spirit. And the point of all this is that having taken his place at the right hand of God, Jesus is now our great high priest. He ever lives to make intercession for us, as it says in the Epistle to the Hebrews. He's praying for us all the time. And the second consequence is that the ascension shows that the fortunes of God and humankind are inextricably intertwined. The incarnation wasn't just a kind of temporary rescue raid and God's attention shifted elsewhere. He's remained firmly committed to us, deeply interested in us, anchored in our history and fortunes. The other point about the ascension is that in a sense, as Jesus drew near to us, he modified his being to become an enfleshed existence in the hope that we would kind of, in a minor key, modify our being to try and become rather more like him in our thinking, behaving, and even interior dispositions. He was humanized so that we might be divinized, as one person put it. And that means that in the life of the world to come, we're not going to become disembodied spirits, cool, calm, rational creatures. We'll retain our little quirkiness and particularities and odd and unique features that make up our personal existence and identity. God delights in all that. And this embodied existence as a spiritual body will be there in the life of the world to come. And the final point I want to make about the ascension is that in a sense, it was time for the disciples to grow up, to mature, to become like adults, and to be people who could now take on the burdens of being the church and really having to enter situations that have never cropped up in the ministry of Jesus and to work things out for themselves about how to continue the mission of God into the world. And, you know, that's a very good theme for us to think about as we think about the General Synod meeting in Napier now to make difficult and complex decisions about the future of our church. We have to be grown up and adult, acting under the inspiration of the Spirit and praying for God's guidance. But there are things and dilemmas that never occurred in the time of Jesus that we've got to sort out now. And just as the disciples had to grow up and not have the teacher with them all the time, so do we in our Christian living, our Christian thinking, and the exercise of Christian wisdom about the situation which we now find ourselves 2,000 years on from the ascension. Spoken in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.